Blog Talk Radio.
The PW Torch Livecast is brought to you this evening by LootCrate.com. Loot Crate, your home for the very best in gamer gear and unique collectible items. Go to LootCrate.com and find out how to get the WWE Slam Crate. Enter the code PWTorch to save $3 off of your first purchase. All right, hello you people. It is our SmackDown Live post-game show for Tuesday night, November the 8th. I am PW Torch columnist and American Pat McNeil. Welcome to the program. The phone number is 515-605-9345. Greg Parks was originally supposed to join us. He had a real life issue to deal with, so he will not be here. He did, however, submit his column, which you can read online at pwtorch.column, tracking everything that happened tonight from Glasgow, Scotland. I will give you the rundown of the top developments, then we'll start taking calls. We have emails. We have people in the chat room. We might even have people on Twitter checking in at Real Pat McNeil. We'll find out how that goes as we go along here. The top five developments on the show, in case you missed it. Baron Corbin was set to wrestle Kalisto. He sustained an injury after attacking Kalisto before his match. It was announced that Baron Corbin is off of the SmackDown team for Survivor Series. His replacement announced at the end of the show, Shane McMahon. Yes, Daniel Bryan begged for Shane McMahon to fill in for Baron Corbin, and I'm curious to see how well Shane matches up with Braun Strowman. Breezango defeated the Vaudevillains in the opener. That means Breezango, of course, came out dressed as the Hot Cops from Arrested Development. So Tyler Breeze and Fandango are on the 10-man team for SmackDown at Survivor Series. They join forces with Heath Slater, Rhino, the Hype Bros, American Alpha, and the Usos. That should be okay. Becky Lynch, still your SmackDown Women's Champion, with a victory over Alexa Bliss. However, there was a disputed finish as Miss Bliss clearly had her foot on the bottom rope at the end before tapping out to Becky Lynch. I just mentioned that because the topic might come up again next week when SmackDown returns to the United States and is live. Fourth big story, Kalisto gets the nod. He will face Brian Kendrick for the Cruiserweight title at Survivor Series. And yes, if Kalisto wins, the Cruiserweights are coming to SmackDown. That was officially announced tonight. And of course, the fifth most important story, Kurt Hawkins finally wins a match on SmackDown television. He defeats Apollo Crews, making up for what happened 3 weeks ago. So here we are, 515-605-9345. We're going to take your calls and hopefully get an exciting 60 to 90 minutes of SmackDown Live talk out of the way. We will kick things off. Oh, by the way, if you want to talk about the elections, that will wait till at the very end of the show and maybe possibly after the credits. We'll see how that goes. Okay, 515-605-9345. We'll kick things off in the 914 area code. 914, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast. Hello.
Jordan New Rochelle, New York.
How you doing, Jordan?
Hey, what's up? I was just looking at just how they're building up the pay-per-view and everything, and just being honest, like, ever since I was a little kid, I'm Blue Brand all day, every day. But just looking at, like, how they're building this up and who's going to compete in these matches, I have no idea how SmackDown's going to win any of these matches. Like, if you go to the women's, you have Nia Jax, you have Bayley, you have all these top stars, and then you have a struggling Carmella trying to get over. You have, Becky Lynch and one of the Bellas, but and then you go over to the tag team division, it's kind of like a joke for SmackDown. I feel like SmackDown can't win any of these. What do you think?
Okay, that might be a fair point. What they've done in the past, and you've been watching, I guess, long enough to remember the brand split beforehand. What they've done in the past is SmackDown usually ends up winning the main Survivor Series match. So somehow, I guess if that happens, AJ Styles' team is going to come out with the win over over Kevin Owens' team, probably because of dissension among the Raw team. That would be my guess as to how that goes. It does seem kind of one-sided, but you got to remember SmackDown is supposed to be the secondary brand. They're being set up to show that, you know, Stephanie McMahon is the better leader than Shane McMahon is, which is kind of the story they're trying to tell. You make a good point. What's your interest in the matches, all in the Raw versus SmackDown matches as a whole?
Well, just dating back, I've been watching wrestling since I was little. I'm 17, so I've seen like these, like Raw versus SmackDown things in the past, and I always like enjoyed it because it's like the brands competing and like against each other. And I'm hearing like a lot of people saying, "Oh, they're kind of like ruining the brand split by having a lot of like them interact with each other." I'm actually pretty excited for Survivor Series, not mostly because of just just the matchups we could see, like AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens, and also. Right. I've never seen Goldberg compete like on live. You have the network, but I'm extremely excited to see Goldberg. Yes, he's old, and I'm not trying to raise expectations, but I just think it's pretty cool. The first time he was on Raw, I was like out of it. I was like so excited to see him on screen. So just as like a first time viewer, I'm excited for the match. I don't expect it to be a lot, but. Just overall for Survivor Series, I'm excited for that match. And I'm out of the brand, I guess you could say, matchups, I guess I'm most excited for Sami Zayn versus Dolph Ziggler. Just because I think Sami's going to lose, but I think they can tear the house down if Vince lets them.
Okay, let me ask you this, because I didn't really go into this. Next week, it looks like the main event on SmackDown Live in Wilkes-Barre is going to be Dolph Ziggler versus Miz for the Intercontinental title. What do you think? Do you think Miz is going to get the title back?
I'd say that's a bad booking decision, just because I think they're going to... I saw a commercial saying that they're going to fight in a steel cage match later on in the year. So I think... If I was booking it, if I was Vince McMahon, what I would actually do is I would, because I'm a big supporter of Sami Zayn, I think he's extremely underused. I think what they should do is they should have Dolph Ziggler win next week, and then at the pay-per-view, you have Miz run out and basically have Sami win, but he doesn't get the belt. And then you go back to SmackDown, you go back to Raw, and he says, "Well, I won that match," and then Mick Foley, being the babyface GM, he grants him a shot at Roman Reigns' title. And I know I'm basically creating a dream here, but he would turn on Sami, and then they'd build up a couple of pay-per-views together, and Sami would end up taking the United States Championship belt. So that's where I'd like to go.
I probably forgot to ask you, tonight's show, thumbs up, thumbs down?
I think it was okay show. I think... I was a little bit confused. I don't know if you picked up on this, but they were calling Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss the main event, but they
That was the match they'd hyped. Yeah,
but they didn't go on last. I'm just in, like, if you the last match is the main event. That's what I believe in. But I'm also, by the way, watching Talking Smack right now, and it seems like Alexa Bliss is going to get a rematch in the near future. She came on with she came on with an ice pack like all over her shoulder and screaming at Daniel Bryan, and like you saw it happen, and he's like trying to like dismiss her and say, "All right, you're gonna get a shot again." But back to your question, I thought it was a pretty okay SmackDown. I think they did a great job hyping up Edge coming back and Undertaker, but I think what they did at the end, they're getting Shane involved too much. I think they just need to have him just like, I was thinking maybe you have someone like Apollo Crews or like someone who's not really being used, or maybe the dream would be Undertaker comes next week and says, "I'm going to participate in the matchup." Just something like that. I cringed when I heard Shane's name. I thought he just needs to stay being the, what are they calling him? The
commissioner.
Commissioner. Yeah, I think he just needs to Stay being the commissioner. But yeah, back to your first question. It was a pretty okay show. I think Raw did just a little bit better, just because I like what they did with the women's division. They gave them time. They gave them time to have their match and everything. But yeah, that's my thoughts.
Okay, well, listen, thank you for checking in with us, Jordan. We hope you join us on future episodes. And Jordan drops off, kids, and that opens up a line for you at 515-605-9345. We have to take a brief time out, and we will be back. More of your calls and emails and tweets, and maybe even hear from the chat room. We'll see how it goes. Don't you go anywhere.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week, and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
All right, and speaking of pwtorch.com, as we were during the break, up on the site right now, Greg Parks' entire real-time SmackDown report from Glasgow, that including all five matches, and this talk at the end, and as Greg puts it, you know, it kind of puts down the rest of the roster that Daniel Bryan would choose Shane McMahon over them. I know this is Shane McMahon's first action since WrestleMania, and I don't know if this is the right venue for him. I don't think that they. It's a shame. It's the same as when in 2001 they had Shane McMahon represent his team, you know, on the Alliance for the Survivor Series. It just didn't make any sense, and Vince McMahon took himself out and put Big Show in, and that made a lot more sense. So there you go. Also on the website right now, matter of fact, there's a news article up. Lillian Garcia has decided to become a wrestling podcaster because, I don't know, I guess that's what all the cool kids are doing. So, and she's going to be doing a Spanish-speaking podcast and interview wrestlers about their career paths. That should be interesting. That and a whole lot more over at pwtorch.com right now. And you can go VIP, of course, by going to pwtorch.com/goVIP and get lots more audio, lots more podcasts, including our VIP Cup podcast, including Wayback Playback, including The Real Deal with Pat McNeil, all that and a lot more, pwtorch.com. Now that we're out of that, let's go ahead and open up some emails, and we are taking your calls, 515-605-9345. Let's see what we have here. Okay. Here we go. Brian sends us an email asking, would it raise interest in the interpromotional Survivor Series matches if there was a tangible benefit for the winning team? My idea is the winner gets to raid the roster or select one superstar from the other brand and, in essence, steal them. This increase interest, and what possibilities does it create? It would increase interest. I don't know. You know, I don't know what realistically you can do in terms of bringing somebody else or to the other side, but maybe whoever wins two out of three of the Survivor Series matches gets to bring somebody over. All right, a VIP member. Oh, our friend. Let's see, our friend Justin from Nashville. He writes. I have two questions. First one, do you think Braun Strowman's ceiling for popularity is in the Ryback realm? That seems fair, although I don't know if he'll get to be as popular as Ryback. Ryback was actually pretty popular at one point. And are you still looking for volunteer contributors for your newsletter? Yeah, we'll have to have Wade get in touch with you about that. But yeah, that'll be fun. Okay, thank you, Justin. Let's go back to the telephone. 515-605-9345 is how you reach us. And we're going to continue on with the 478 area code. Let me bring this in here. 478, please state your name and town. You're on the livecast. Hello.
How you doing? This is Darrell from Georgia.
Hey, what's going on, Darrell?
How you doing today? Just watching SmackDown, and I say it's just a continuation type of show that they just trying to continue on from Raw. And things of the sort like that. Nothing really big happened. Except the screwy finish at the end with Lesnar Bliss. and Becky Lynch match, but I guess that's something that they're trying to move on to TLC. I'm kind of, after they announced Shane for the 15 member on SmackDown, that really just took me all the way out of Survivor Series and made it into nothing but a one-match show. So I'm really kind of past that show and looking beyond the next two pay-per-views, the Separation pay-per-views, TLC and Roadblock. So my three things is I'm going to ask something that we used to ask James when he was on here. Early predictions for Survivor Series. That's the first one. And one match you already know, and at TLC, how you think they're going to do the title match between AJ and Dean Ambrose. And my third thing will be our early prediction, a match we don't know, but it's being speculated, Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens, and maybe the return of Finn Balor, who has also been advertised for that show. What you think they're going to do with him? And that's my
opinion. Okay, first of all, I have heard, and I don't know if this is true, but I've heard that the main event for Roadblock is going to be Owens versus Reigns. So I guess we'll find out about that in the next few weeks. I don't know that I'd take the title off of Kevin Owens. Although if they really want to make Roman Reigns the heel, that would be a fantastic way to do it. Although I don't know what that would say for Triple H. You know, I don't know if you can do a title change like that without having Triple H involved, and that's going to cause a problem where either Triple H has to change his backing to back Roman Reigns, or Triple H has to become a babyface when Roman Reigns wins and he's unable to stop him. So there's that. Styles versus Ambrose. I am expecting Styles to win at TLC. And I think where we're going to end up is with Styles and Randy Orton at the Royal Rumble, and Styles as the babyface and Orton as the heel. I think that's the direction we're heading on that. I don't know about the Rumble. That's a heck of a question. At one point they were talking about doing, at one point for this WrestleMania, they were talking about doing Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns. So I guess whatever they have to do at Royal Rumble to get there is what they'll end up doing, though. Did that cover all of them?
I know they said Finn Balor was being advertised for that.
Oh, yeah, Finn Balor.
Also.
Well, he does need to come back, and maybe that's, if they're bringing back Finn Balor, he obviously has to go right after the title, which means Balor's going right after Kevin Owens. And that's a match that they've done before. And, they've obviously had good matches before. It depends on how quickly that Finn Balor heals up and, you know, how ready he is, because they're going to have very physical matches.
Yeah, okay. Now, you were saying about turning Roman Reigns. Do you think a reason why they haven't been able in the past, let's just go back these last 3 years that he's been running on top as single, the reason why they haven't been able to make stars is because the continuation trying to get him over. And even if he do turn heel, when they continue to limit them from making another star, because that's a continued effort as a top main event push for him instead of just either letting it go.
Well, I mean, you're talking about their failure to make stars. I mean, AJ Styles arrived in January. Would it be fair to say that they made a star out of him? I mean, he's a star. Okay, whether they made him a star or not, he's a star. Kevin Owens. Finn Balor they made into a star. They actually did that right. They had Finn Balor come in. He beat everybody and he won the title. The fact that he got injured is kind of a problem, but I think they did a good job there. Roman Reigns, Vince McMahon is tied to the fact that he wants Roman Reigns to be beloved by the fans and be a top star. I think that they made a mistake in hindsight when they didn't let him go ahead and beat Brock Lesnar in that match, and had Seth Rollins cash in. Because I think if I thought they were well on their way to at least getting Roman Reigns respected, and then it just made him look like a chump. And a lot of the decisions they've made with Reigns, haven't helped. Reigns' personality, plus the fact that he's obviously annoyed at the fans for not getting behind him, and, you know, ruining whatever he and Vince McMahon have planned. That's a problem. I think he could have been a babyface at one point. I think he had, you know, sort of the right disposition for it, but I don't think he has that now.
I think he could be a pretty good babyface too.
Yeah, I think you almost have to turn him heel again and get him back over and get him back to where you want him to be to get fans to like him again. And that sounds messed up, but welcome to wrestling in 2016.
Yeah, that's true. But I hate the certain turns, because if you listen, in earlier this year, everybody was talking about how Cesaro would get over if he go heel. Then they went heel for a little while, and then he didn't get over. That's what people think. Then they turned him back face again. So I think in today's age, with the certain turns of stuff, people just be so expecting it, but they don't be thinking about the long-term booking after you turn the person and how you keep that person hot. That's why I think sometimes it don't work, and it's not always the answer, because I think Roman Reigns could be a pretty good babyface. I don't know if you look at, like, the stuff they have on YouTube, like the up, up, down, down stuff. And, like, yeah, when he show up on there, he's very entertaining. They just had a show with him on there, and he's very entertaining. He plays he's a gamer, and he does games that I'm pretty sure most people game, like the Call of Duty fans and stuff like that. So if they would allow him to be himself and not so scripted and sounding like a robot, maybe he would be over as a babyface and could combat the crowds that – have hatred towards him.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Darrell. I wanted to see the other people who've called in, but I think you made some good points here.
Thank you, sir.
You there? Hey, no problem. Call again. 515-605-9345. Let's go ahead and, okay, this will be fun. Let's go to the 773 area code. 773, please state your name and town. You're on live cast, SmackDown Post Game Show. Hi, Boris. How's it going?
Boris from Chicago. I'm doing okay.
Really? Okay. Good.
On the heels of the Leon Garcia podcast, I'm looking forward to, you know, females in podcasting, you know, because right now it's male dominated, and to have a female that's been in the wrestling business behind the scene or something like that, I'm looking forward to the different stories they, you know, on the side of the, you know, of the female perspective. Only thing I guess with me, it's not English too, or just all Spanish, do you know?
They said it'd be Spanish, so in the article, I'm guessing it'll mostly be Spanish, and if that's the case, you're talking a lot of Lucha Libre guys, I guess. Or they could do like Austin does. You have a Spanish podcast, and we get an American wrestler who doesn't speak Spanish. You get an English podcast.
Now that's what I was thinking too. So after that, I was going to ask you. We're getting Wrestle Kingdom is on its way. We got Kenny Omega against Okada.
Just in 2 months.
My whole question to you is, well, it's an obvious one, but just like your detailed perspective on who's doing better at booking right now as far as getting to the
You're killing me, Boris.
It's a loaded question. As far as losing Nakamura in New Japan, who's doing the better rebuilding with their superstars, WWE or New Japan and TOI?
Oh, geez. I mean, yeah, New Japan now is, they're getting, let's not pretend that New Japan is at the top of their game here. They still got some work to do in building guys up, but I think what they've done with Kenny Omega is amazing. Oh, and, you know, I've seen lots of Kenny Omega stuff. I saw him in his run in Ring of Honor. It never occurred to me that Kenny Omega might be a guy who'd headline the Tokyo Dome. I appreciated his work and all, but that just seemed far afield. Although, you know, I got to say, 15 months ago, I never thought that Donald Trump would be closing in on the presidency, and here we are. So things change.
I read
and guys, you know, and guys who you, it's like wrestling, guys who you thought were sure things, you know, bad stuff happens, guys who you thought, well, they're never going to be big stars. John Cena was a long shot for, you know, until Stephanie McMahon discovered him. So
it just seemed to me right now that the everything but WWE, you know, trying to, you know, win the fans or, you know, get the eyeballs on them, are doing better than the company with everything going for them. You know, like TNA is, you know, hanging on by a screen, but we got the Matt Hardy show pretty much over there, you know, organically, you know, entertaining us. Because I've, everything he's been doing so far, I've been looking forward to watching, like the Halloween special.
I really want, you know, I want to get to the point where Matt Hardy and Hurricane and a few of those Omega guys are just booking TNA and, you know, and we don't have to worry about a lot of, and I think the show will be better and we don't have to worry about a lot of this stuff. I hope that TNA can survive. It doesn't bode well that Billy Corgan's out and, you know, Dave Lagana, he's been a mixed bag, but I mean, people who work there talk about how hard Lagana worked for the company, and that's, you know, and I mean, you're talking about, I guess, Matt Conway writing stuff now, although I'm hoping that I'm hoping that Hardy's getting his way and a lot of the wrestlers are pitching in.
Yeah, I hope they stick with that and you know, let it continue to be as organic as it is, which it seems like even, you know, the personal issue that TNA has hasn't been interfering with the product itself yet, you know, unlike WWE, you know, WWE interferes with the product. You know, every time we think we're going to get something good like Cruiserweight and, you know, you can hear everybody, you know, planning out matches that...
Survivor Series, you know, elimination match, for example.
It's like we can't get, you know, them without their hands on it. Why is Shane in this with anybody?
Because he's a big star and nobody else in the SmackDown brand is a big star. I mean, he's a bigger star than Dolph Ziggler or The Miz or Kalisto or, you know, I don't know. The poor McMahon needs his pay-per-view bonus.
Wait, TNA has broken Matt Hardy. We can have a literally broken Undertaker. Because we saw him on crutches and he's returning.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, he's not going to he's not going to be able to wrestle at Survivor Series. If he was, I'm sure they would have thought about it because, you know, they do like The Undertaker. It's not, so Shane McMahon's wrestling at Survivor Series, Triple H isn't. That makes all kind of sense.
Wow.
Yeah.
But all these brand new stars down there in NXT, I mean, they got a lot. All you got is, like you said, even with, what's his name, the guy that just lost to a guy that lost in 3 seconds or something.
Yeah, Apollo Crews. Yeah, well, Apollo Crews. David Otunga is on commentary. God bless him. And he's talking about, you know, if I had the ability and the moves of Apollo Crews, I would have been world champion. And then Apollo Crews goes out there and gets beat by freaking Kurt Hawkins.
Before he got started. Because
that's amazing.
Lost in 3 seconds. I mean, how can you get behind someone and then think you want to watch this match when
you can't.
Get lost within seconds? You know, the logic.
You can't. It's they're screwing with people. That's what they do. It's WWE. All right, Boris. So thumbs up or thumbs down on this show, on tonight's show?
Thumb in the middle.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't going to do a whole, I mean, you got some storyline development, but they weren't going to do a whole lot when they're off in another country. And I think because of the election, they didn't think a lot of people were going to watch anyway. So.
And you would think over there, you would cater to that audience because they mean just as much as we do. It's like, why would you go there and pretty much give us, more talking?
Because that's what the people want. The people want more talking on their wrestling shows. That's got to be it.
Because I didn't get a chance to speak on yesterday. Monday, you know, it took over, you know, because it was too much talking. What do you think the audience like they're going to do when you come over there and they're excited for wrestling and you give them talking? Of course they're going to they're going to take over. And that's the headline of most wrestling online things. You know, they take the fans take it over.
All right. Well, you know. You're right. And then they wonder why the fans take over. It's because they do stupid stuff. Because the fans have to entertain themselves because the show's not entertaining them. Oh, well. All right, Boris. But thanks for calling in. We will call Wade tomorrow. I'm sure he'll want to talk about stuff. 1 p.m. Eastern. All right. Thank you. Bless Boris. 515-605-9345. Hey, guess what? We are about to take another commercial time out. More of your phone calls and tweets and emails and all that stuff on the PW Torch Livecast SmackDown post-game show when we return.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch Livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com. Covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
Okay, we're back with more of the PW Torch SmackDown Live post-game show. But before we continue, I have to tell you about our good friends over at Loot Crate. Loot Crate has a deal with the WWE. Loot Crate, is a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. For the main Loot Crate service, for less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparels, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. Each month, you have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate. And when cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. Make sure to head to lootcrate.com. Enter PWTorch as your code to save $3 on any new subscription. So what was in the first WWE Slam Crate? And they're putting out the Slam Crates once every 2 months. It costs more. But it is exclusive WWE stuff. And here's what the first one had. They're all going to have T-shirts. The first one had the Enzo and Cass Bada Boom Realist Guys in the Room T-shirt. They had a plastic figurine. The plastic figurine featured the New Day riding a unicorn. All plastic. You have to just YouTube it. It's Loot Crate Unboxing. You'll see what it was. Also in the crate, you got a Shinsuke Nakamura mini poster, an Austin Aries trading card, your special Mitch the Plant kit. You remember the Mitch the Plant from a couple months ago. Your Dean Ambrose belt buckle, your NXT iron-on patch, iron-on patches, Sasha Banks glasses, and a WWF Championship belt lapel pin. It's all exclusive stuff. You can go to lootcrate.com, check out the WWE Slam Crate, and get ready to slam. It's they're one of our sponsors. We're very happy to have them aboard. All right, 515-605-9345. We are going to take as many of your calls, emails, and chat room questions as you can muster up here as we approach we're going to head towards the top of the hour here in America. Let's see where we are. Did we go over all the results? I think we did. Other matches. Of course, Naomi defeated Natalya. Nikki Bella was on commentary. That was one thing out of tonight's show. Tom Phillips joined the commentary team. So you had a broadcast booth consisting of Mauro Ranallo, Tom Phillips, JBL, and David Otunga. I hope that they're not bringing Tom Phillips in so they can ease Mauro out of it, because I think Mauro is kind of essential to this deal. So when Nikki's on commentary, it's a five-person booth. When you have AJ Styles on commentary during the main event, the final match, it's a five-person booth. James Ellsworth was named the team's mascot for the the Survivor Series match. So I guess he will be in the corner of AJ Styles' team for that. All right, let's keep it rolling. We are going to go back to the telephones, and we are going to go to the 903 area code. 903, please state your name and town. You're on the SmackDown Live postgame show.
My name is Dustin. I'm calling from Texas.
How you doing, Dustin?
I'm doing great. I wanted to mention, here's the thing with SmackDown, the way it is, I really didn't watch very much of it because literally, I don't know why they do that. They release the spoilers, and I check them out, and I'm like, wait a second, I'm stupid. I checked the spoilers.
And you plan to watch the show, yeah.
Yeah, and I plan on watching the show, and then they ruined it for me, and then...
Yeah,
it is what it is. Yeah, but I'm looking forward to next week seeing Undertaker come back, and then you have Edge on there as well. I wonder how that's gonna play out, and then since they threw in there, I have had a scenario for Survivor Series. What if Shane McMahon was just joking about James Ellsworth being the mascot, and instead of Shane McMahon being on Team SmackDown, he puts James Ellsworth on SmackDown, and he pulls the wall over everybody's eyes and puts James Ellsworth in that match instead.
Well, I think that would go against the stated purpose, which is to win the match. Not just in the storyline, the main event tonight, basically, Ellsworth is teaming with Dean Ambrose and Kane. They do a backstage segment. Kane tells Ellsworth, don't tag in. So you get to the end of the match. There's brawling going around ringside. Dean Ambrose is almost unconscious in front of Ellsworth. Ellsworth tags himself in, heads into the ring. Bray Wyatt grabs him and hits the Sister Abigail and pins him 1-2-3. It wouldn't make a lot of sense to do that. Now, I know that that doesn't stop WWE Dustin, but it doesn't seem like a great plan.
By the way, I just want to get your opinion. Did you watch the World Series?
I did.
My cousin won the World Series, and I was like, oh my God. My cousin won the series, and it made things special. I was at that parade last week. I was at that parade, and I got to meet my hero, Anthony Rizzo, and that was a cool experience being there with 5 million people.
That's great. Okay, can you tie that back into to wrestling somehow, or?
Oh, sorry, I got off topic. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. That's okay.
Yeah,
I might be off topic a little bit later.
Yeah, so, okay. Then you have Undertaker and Edge on show next week. That's going to be something to see. And then they put Dolph Ziggler defending his title against The Miz. Man, that's not a good idea. We see here Dolph Ziggler gets hurt somehow, Miz is going to cheat, and Miz wins the championship.
Okay, maybe the idea is to have, instead of having two guys that everybody likes and people confused about what's going to happen, maybe they want people to actually root for Sami Zayn to beat The Miz.
Yeah, and that's not going to happen. I really don't think I don't see it happening. I see whoever faces the Raw competitive Peace Intercontinental Championship, they're going to lose anyways.
Yeah, well, Sami Zayn's one of those underdog characters, and Vince McMahon is using him like he wanted to use Daniel Bryan before he realized how popular Daniel Bryan was. So,
So if Shane's gonna be in this tag match, there's a couple matchups that I thought everyone would see: Seth Rollins versus Shane McMahon and Roman Reigns versus Shane McMahon in this match. Anything can happen.
But I don't want to see most of the things that could happen with Shane McMahon in this match.
Oh, you got that big on him being on Team SmackDown?
What's that?
I said you're not that big on him being on Team SmackDown.
It sort of makes it look like they think Shane McMahon is a better bet to win the match than most of their wrestlers, and I don't see how that's helpful.
No, and I don't see how Shane McMahon's in ring shape to compete.
Well, he fought The Undertaker for half an hour at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I saw that match, and I was like, Shane was nuts, jumping up top of itself. I knew Undertaker was going to move, and he was nuts.
Well, yeah.
And I don't think that's going to help SmackDown any at all. That's probably going to cost them the match.
Well, we'll find out. I think WWE believes that people are going to tune in to watch Goldberg versus Lesnar anyway, and they might have a good point there.
Oh, what a coincidence. You know how Shane McMahon has the issue with Brock Lesnar? What a coincidence.
Yeah.
They're on the same pay-per-view. on the same pay-per-view, it would be a shocker if Brock Lesnar comes down towards the end of that SmackDown versus Raw match and he calls SmackDown the match when he attacks the referee gets knocked down, then he attacks Shane McMahon and it costs him the match.
Okay, yeah, that could happen, I suppose. I'm not crazy about the idea of a Brock Lesnar Shane McMahon feud, but yeah, anything can happen.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on.
Hey, no problem, Dustin. All right, Dustin drops off, and that opens up a line for you at 515-605-9345. Let's see what we have here. Email question from Gary. Gary writes, I can't call in right now, but Jordan made a point about Sammy getting a DQ win. Is that possible? Do you think WWE could do that and start a Roman Reigns versus Sami Zayn feud? They could do that, but that would involve turning Roman Reigns heel. And right now, I have heard that that's not in their plans. Of course, this is WWE. And as you may have heard, on occasion, plans change. Let's go ahead and get on over to the 718 area code. 718, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast. Hello.
Hey, man, this is John from Brooklyn. First and foremost, I just want to say thank you to you for your dedication to the industry. Really great stuff. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, John, for your dedication to calling in, because on nights when Greg's not here, I appreciate it, too.
Sure. You know, I'm 30 years old. I've been watching wrestling forever. And, you know, I wanted to get your take on the fact that just lately I cannot get myself to tune in or to want to watch. And I think that kind of breaks my heart as a fan. I'm curious to get your take on overexposure of the product. I mean, I don't know. I think to some degree the NFL is suffering in the same light. There's just too much WWE.
Yeah.
Too much to sit through. And to me, AJ Styles for a while brought me back in. Goldberg, certainly. But when you treat your world champions like they don't matter and they lose, I just get checked out. I can't – with Kevin Owens being an afterthought – there's nothing compelling. And my final question at the end of this rant here is to you. Attitude Era aside, for all of the crazy things we got in the Attitude Era, when was the last time you as a fan really said to yourself, man, I can't wait to watch Raw next week? Minus CM Punk and minus the Nexus angle. When did you feel like that last?
Oh, geez. it's been a few years.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it might have been the night before that they did that 3-hour Raw anniversary show. Or was it Raw 1000? Might have been Raw 1000.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going back to. I mean, I think the thing that you have to remember is, you know, I've got to watch Raw and SmackDown most weeks and the other stuff. You do not have to. You can, in fact, if you decide personally that, you know what, 3 hours of Raw is too gosh darn much, you can go ahead and wait until 9 o'clock and tune it on and watch the last 2 hours. Or you can, you know, just watch SmackDown, which is a 2-hour show, which seems most weeks to have better stuff on it. Or you can watch NXT, or you can start watching Ring of Honor, or you can get a Flow Sports thing and follow Evolve, or you can follow New Japan like Boris does. I mean, it's, you know, or you can go back and watch older stuff on the network. It's a matter of what appeals to you.
Yeah, you're right. And I think it would be wrong to say that the wrestling business isn't thriving. I think it's just maybe the WWE product that has evolved so much. It's probably evolved off of my consumption plate.
Their business is fine. They're going to keep making money, but all the election talk, the level of enthusiasm is kind of important. If the level of enthusiasm is down, eventually that's going to get you. And where you see the level of enthusiasm being down is in the ratings. And, the first 2 years of going to 3 hours, they did a good job of holding up the ratings. And now it's starting to slip because, you know, they don't have any new ideas. I think the biggest new idea they've had in the past year was, okay, let's take Finn Balor, and we know people like him, and we know he's good. Let's make him the top star on Raw, and he got injured. And I think that set back whatever they were, you know, whatever they were trying to put together for Raw. And I think that they, I mean, I expect that they're actually excited about Finn Balor coming back and doing Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens on Raw. I mean, I think that's probably a big motivator for them.
But in terms of the ratings, if I could just ask one last question, what do you think the conversation sounds like with USA Network when the rights agreement is up and USA says to them, this isn't what we signed up for? You know, what does that conversation sound like? Could they blame live streaming and digital consumption, or is USA going to want answers, and is WWE going to be scrambling to find that kind of revenue stream again?
Well, yes, they are, but I mean, USA wants answers. WWE can say, hey, you know, look at all the ratings for all the cable networks for live television. They're all down. Look at the NFL. The freaking NFL is down. I mean, yeah, that's the argument you make, and WWE's argument is eventually going to be, well, we don't have to sell you SmackDown. We can put SmackDown on the network, and I mean, they're going to take a hit off, you know. If they move like 2 hours of their broadcast to the network, they're going to take a hit short term, but they can probably make it back. I mean, it's like when they started the network, they knew they were going to take losses, but it didn't take them that long to win them all back.
That's true. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate those thorough responses, and keep up all the great work.
All right, John, I appreciate it. Thank you for calling. All right, 515-605-9345. I think we got another good 15 minutes or so left in us. Remember, in a few weeks from now, we're going to have, after SmackDown, the 205 Live show. And 205 Live is going to be all cruiserweight action. So Talking Smack will move to 11 and Eastern. And we're going to be doing this show, either Greg or Wade or me or whoever, while 205 Live is on the air, and probably while it's live. So just to keep that in mind for future reference. And it is kind of going to be like having a third hour of SmackDown. I mean, all the people who were joking after Raw went to 3 hours, when are we going to get our third hour of SmackDown? It's on the network. It's not exactly the same as SmackDown, but we are going to get another hour of this, and it might be one of the best hours of TV that WWE puts out. But if it's on after SmackDown, I mean, how enthusiastic are you going to be to watch it? How enthusiastic are the people live who have just sat through a SmackDown going to be to get another hour tacked on? I mean, remember how the original NXT worked out when they started doing it, when they started airing it after SmackDown live. Okay, 515-605-9345. Let me take a couple of emails and see what we've got in the old email sack here. Okay, where'd I put that? There we go. Email thingy. Thank you. All right, this is Casey. Casey from Pennsylvania writes in, what do you think of this incentive? What if winning the Survivor Series match ensures your brand gets the number one draft pick at the next draft? That could be applied to the first male pick, first woman pick, and first tag team pick. Just a thought. I actually like that idea better than the rating one person from the roster, because that could be problematic, because you know that they aren't going to do what a real sports team would do and raid the best player. They're going to have to raid a player that's, you know, that fills a need here. But having the draft pick, that's something that you could take. It's a long-term payoff for fans that follow the product closely. So yeah, I could do that. Okay. This is going to be Sheen, who writes, do you see Baron Corbin being replaced with Undertaker next week on the Survivor Series team? No, Undertaker just had surgery. If Undertaker could walk, they might do it. All right. Nicholas from California. Why have the new Cruiserweight show live on the WWE Network? CWC was taped and did just fine. I'm just not looking for another hour of wrestling after 3 hours of Raw and 2 hours of SmackDown. That's a good point. However, I think that they want a live show, and I think they are trying to avoid spoilers. And Nicholas also points out, I feel bad for the cruiserweights having to deal with a tired crowd on a school night. That's another good point. I mean, you're talking about now Marathon Raw tapings and I guess Marathon SmackDown tapings. Yeah, and he also thinks it was a pretty boring show tonight, which I can't say that, you know, I mean, the matches weren't bad, but they were, they also were not great. All right, let's go back to the telephones here. We are going to go to 513 area code 513. Please state your name and town. You're on the SmackDown Live post-game show. Hello.
Yeah, this is Ron from Cincinnati.
How you doing, Ron?
Doing great. I'm doing great. I had a couple of points to make regarding how WWE is currently approaching talent development. I think we all knew that with the wake of the Raw versus SmackDown Survivor Series coming up that, you know, major storylines were going to be on hold. And ideally, this would have been a perfect opportunity for them to develop somebody to maybe go into a world title picture following the Survivor Series and the TLC with AJ versus Dean, where now at this point it seems very stagnant what's going to happen with that. Thoughts on that idea?
I agree that they probably should be doing more to build guys up, but they, you know, they think that they've got Randy Orton, who's one of their main eventers, raring to go. And I suspect we are going to get, I suspect we are going to go to Randy Orton and AJ Styles. That's my guess. So I think that that's what they want. Ambrose, I suppose they can always throw back in later. They don't have a lot of guys that they consider main event level. They are very selective about who they elevate to that. I think perhaps they're too selective. They don't feel like just moving a guy up to headline and challenge for a month or two, which I think is a perfectly acceptable thing to do. And they are always of the belief that, we can just create a new steel. We can shoot somebody to the top anytime we want to. But except for Finn Balor, they haven't done that well.
Yeah, they haven't done it well at all. And I just felt like while it seemingly downtime would have been a perfect time to at least try to get somebody elevated to that point to where they would feel confident one way or another about elevating someone to that picture. But I think it also affects long-term with the real draw of Survivor Series. I mean, obviously, yeah. Goldberg and Lesnar. What are they going to do a few years from now when they don't have these Attitude Era guys to lean on? You know, nobody really seems to be that caliber.
They're going to be begging John Cena to come back or The Rock those are valid points. I mean, I'm sure in a few years they'll be calling CM Punk. I know that they say now that they won't, but you'd have to think that's going to be coming up at some point. I mean, that is a problem. But on the other hand, you have that approach to it, and you also have the approach that Triple H takes, which is, Triple H feels like, you know, Triple H is stockpiling guys on NXT. After WrestleMania had to move some guys across and a few more. But I think that it looks like they're keeping Nakamura and Asuka for a while. So in an emergency, they could move somebody like that up to the main roster. I expect, they have guys on the NXT roster who are good enough to headline.
Yeah, totally agreed. I mean, I think they even have guys on the main roster that are good enough to headline. It's just,
well, yeah,
with presentation, it just, we're not getting there. And it seems that we're just trying to get the overall WWE brand over more so than individual stars.
Well, yeah, because if you get...
That's just not a good way to go.
But see, when you get individual stars over, you have to pay them, you know, star money.
Yeah, fair enough.
If you don't, if guys aren't over, you can just sort of put them at that level, at that middle management type level, and pay them that way. I mean, this is a business we're talking about. You know, you thought this was entertainment, but just because of the name says entertainment.
I have a feeling that
if Vince McMahon ever dies, and I'm told he doesn't think he will, but if that happens, and Triple H takes over, you're going to see a different approach to how you build guys up. And it might be more like what you see on NXT. If Triple H is in charge, you're going to have your good points and your bad points. But he does seem, you know, He has been, I'm trying to think of a good way to explain this. He is a believer in the style of wrestling that that you see on Ring of Honor and TNA and New Japan, and believes that with the proper tweaks to a WWE style that those guys can get over on the main roster. And yeah, I think he's been proven right here. I mean, look at how much of the main roster is at this point is from NXT.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. And I mean, you can tell with the crowd reactions on each show that it's people want more so what's being presented on NXT than what the main roster is doing with even the people that they love from NXT. And
right.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think as far as sustainability goes, you know, we are going to have to see a change here, rather than just same old. And you know, I think how they've utilized this downtime between what was the last SmackDown pay-per-view? No Mercy.
No Mercy.
And
yeah.
TLC is very detrimental to long-term sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
As far as building guys up and you know, keep making an effort to raise dropping ratings and, you know, just seemingly dropping interest across the boards.
Yeah, I think there are going to be some changes. I think it's going to take a few years for those changes to take effect, though. So we're kind of in the middle, and I think. I like some of the things that they're doing. I like the fact that, you know, you can bring in veteran guys like the Headbangers and use them for a limited purpose. You can bring in guys who are pretty much jobbers on the indie scene like James Ellsworth. If they're talented, you can have a purpose for them. You don't need you have guys that you can mix in with the main talent to freshen things up every so often. I think, in fact, we might need to see more of that. But it goes against, you know, having 3 hours and 15 minutes every week to fill and feeling that need to. Well, we've got to have big stars out there in the main event. We've got to have a main event that we got to have main guys fighting main guys. You don't always have to do it that way.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And it's I feel that with the length of the weekly television shows, that these shows are just going to become less and less relevant, and that we're going to be putting more stock into the network specials, and you know, kind of a reverse where the television shows are not going to be as crucial as the bigger event, and I feel that that's where the heart of growing storylines and things like that are really going to go.
I mean, that stuff is for us, the premium fans. You know, I mean, I'm more excited about you know, seeing TakeOver Toronto than I am about the Survivor Series, for example.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are the same way. So, and yeah, I think that's the direction that I'm looking forward to. You know, I'm hoping 205 Live is as interesting as the Cruiserweight Classic was. And maybe that's why Tom Phillips is going on SmackDown, because they know Mauro's going to have to fill an extra hour every week doing this 205 Live. So yeah, maybe they're in flux, and they're going to make a lot of changes, and not all those changes are going to work. And we just have to let them know. I mean, you've got to give them feedback. You got to let people know, you know, hey, this is what we like at WWE. This is what we like about what you're doing. This is what we don't like. And whether they decide to pay attention to that, that's kind of on them.
Okay. Yeah, I can agree with that.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Ron. Thank you for checking in with us this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate your insight.
Hey, I'm glad to do it for you. All right. That's all the callers we have for now, and I think that's all the emails. Let me check Twitter. I don't think we got anything on Twitter. Okay, kids. It is time to tell everybody about the Torture VIP package here. Just want you to know that you can become a VIP member here at pwtorch.com for a low price, $10 a month, $99 a year. And we're going to have our loyal announcer guys to tell you about that. If you want to hear somebody, If you want to hear the election talk, it will be after the, what I guess we'll call the closing credits. We thank you, every one of you, every day, for tuning in and being a part of PW Torch and the PW Torch livecast. Thank you.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com. And that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.